We celebrate Mass today, brothers and sisters, in this church of St. John Lateran, the Pope's Cathedral. And as you saw outside, the inscription at the front of this church said that it is the mother and the head of all the churches. As a matter of fact, during the course of the liturgical year, every church throughout the Catholic world has its own feast day, the day on which that church building was dedicated. If you've ever been to the ceremony of the dedication of a church, you know that it is a very beautiful and somewhat unusual kind of ceremony. One of the things the bishop does when he dedicates a church is to sprinkle the walls with holy water. And there's a very deep symbolism there, because Peter tells us that we, the church, we, the members of the church, are living stones. So just as the churches are built with one stone on top of the other, and we saw today some very ancient stones that have been on top of one another for a very long time, so we, individual members, individual disciples of Christ, are built together into one edifice to God's glory. The temple of God. Each of us is that temple, the Holy Spirit dwelling inside of us, Jesus Christ coming to dwell in us again today by this Eucharist. But the very existence of a church building tells us about us. Living stones built together, each with his own particular place, strengthened by the bond which is the unity of the Spirit and the very blood of the Savior. And those walls of the church are sprinkled with holy water to remind us that each of us, each living stone, has been made to live by the waters of baptism and the power of the Spirit that comes with those waters. The stones being together speak of unity. Unity with God, unity with one another, unity across the lines of nations and languages and races and skin colors and customs. Yes, unity even across the lines of denominations, for there is but one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all. The mother and head of all the churches. If the dedication of a church is so important and symbolic, and it is, and if each of our parish churches has its feast day, which it does, then what happens when you come to the feast day of the dedication of this church that we are in right now? St. John Lateran. The dedication day of this church is November 9th, but notice what the church teaches us. That day is not only a feast day right here in this church, it's a feast day in your parish. Even if it falls on a Sunday, your parish priest celebrates the Mass of the dedication of the church that you're sitting in right now. Because this is the Pope's Cathedral. The Pope is the Vicar of Christ. That is why, as Bishop of the entire Catholic Church, his name is mentioned every time a Mass is celebrated. It can be celebrated in the most beautiful cathedrals of the world. It can be celebrated in the middle of the hottest desert in Africa by three people, and the Pope's name is mentioned. Brothers and sisters, this, where we are today, St. John Lateran, is the parish church of every Catholic. We're at home here today. We're not away from home. Here we are spiritually. And this teaches us a tremendous lesson today about the unity of the church. About the fact that we don't create our own creed, we don't construct our own worship service, we don't invent our own methods of worshiping God. We have inherited, as the readings talk about today, a new and perfect worship which builds on and is the full flowering of all the worship of the Old Testament. And Jesus says, I have come not to abolish it, but to fulfill it. There is a greater glory in the worship that we have now in the sacred Eucharist than any of those ceremonies that God ordained for the people of old when they sacrificed the bulls and the goats and they had the incense and the songs and the feast days. It was all pointing to Christ. It was all foretelling the mysteries that we're celebrating here this afternoon. And so we are the church. Yes, hierarchically ordered, as we were reminded today, we were with the supreme pastor of the church. Hierarchically ordered, but nevertheless, living stones, each and every one of us. And united, each one of our bodies and souls is a temple of the Holy Spirit. What a sin it is if someone comes into your parish church or to this church and begins destroying the physical stones. Terrible sin, sacrilege. What's worse, to do that or to destroy a human life? The beauty of these stones, the magnificence of these churches that we are seeing today is but a faint echo, a little arrow pointing to a much more awesome, wondrous, marvelous, unspeakably valuable mystery and temple, which is each and every human life. This is what the church is saying to us in this year of faith, and as we approach this day of the gospel of life this coming weekend, that we, the temple of God, the dwelling place of the Holy Spirit, the image of God, are more valuable than all the marvelous artwork and ecclesiastical structures that we are seeing and learning about during this trip. Evangelium Vitae, the Gospel of Life, was one of the most important encyclicals that John Paul II ever wrote. In fact, when I came to work here in Rome, I was here for 2 years, from 97 to 99, I was working at the Pontifical Council for the Family. This is one of the offices, and you will meet on Friday the president of the Pontifical Council for the Family. This is one of the two key offices at the Vatican that oversees the pro-life work of the church. And it was just after the Pope had issued Evangelium Vitae. And many times I heard Pope John Paul II speak about that document. He considered it one of the most important of his pontificate. And it is a document which you and I are invited by the church to read and reread, to meditate on and to study, and of course to live. What does it say at the beginning and the end of that marvelous document? It speaks about the union that we have with God, the union that we have with one another, a unity, again, expressed by stone upon stone in these buildings, and by the communion that we have with the church throughout the world in such a way that we can say, this is our parish. And because of that union, John Paul II wrote at the beginning of Evangelium Vitae, whoever attacks human life attacks God himself. At the end of the document, he says something strikingly similar. After having reflected on the fact that Jesus took human life into the divinity of God, he says, to reject human life is to reject Jesus Christ himself. Brothers and sisters, when you and I stand up for the life of a little baby in the womb, we are not just protecting and advocating for the rights of that baby. Brothers and sisters, when we speak up for one of our youngest members of the human family in the womb, we are not only defending his or her rights, we're defending God's rights. I always tell the story of the time I was praying in the Midwest with a group of people in front of an abortion facility, as I often do, and one of the men inadvertently had his toes over the property line of that abortion clinic, and somebody inside noticed that and they came running out and they started yelling at him, "Get your feet off our property!" And I looked at the man and I said, "And when are you going to get your hands off God's property?" The child in the womb belongs to God and to us. To attack that child is to attack God. To reject that life is to reject Christ. And for us to defend that life is to live once again the marvelous unity to which our faith calls us. Unity with God and with one another. Not only the supernatural unity that comes about when we receive those waters of baptism, just as the stones are sprinkled, but that natural unity, that natural solidarity, the fact that we belong to one another, the fact that God has entrusted us to the care of one another, this we must affirm with all the vigor of our heart and soul. Because when the world forgets that, then darkness, chaos, genocide, the dissolution of civilization itself begin to occur. Here at the mother and head of all churches, here at the Pope's Cathedral, here at our parish, let us rejoice that God has called us truly to be brothers and sisters on the natural and supernatural level, and let us recommit ourselves as never before, that we will proclaim, that we will celebrate, that we will defend, and that we will serve the gift of human life in each and every one of our brothers and sisters. Amen.